Start a new study this morning. I covered a little bit of what we're going to go over today and maybe next week before Brother Stephen taught his class. And I'm going to go over it just for the sake of recording and going back into this, just go back over some of it a little bit. But I want to talk about dispensations. And Brother Bowen's handing out a little booklet that I made that you can follow along with the study, and there's blanks you can fill in. The first one's free. I'm not printing up like a bunch of them just to hand out every week, so hang on to it, put your name in it. And if you want another copy of it, it'll be $5. Sorry. So I don't know. I hope it helps, like, when you follow along, just to fill in the blanks, and the answers will be up here on the screen as we go through here. Maybe it'll help with keeping notes. But I talked about this subject, like I said, a little bit before Brother Stephen. One apiece. Yep. You can give one to Elijah McKenzie, too, since they're visiting with us this morning. All right, we'll let him get those handed out. We can turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. This is kind of a text verse for this study. Brother Jim was teaching on end times, and there's a few different periods that he covered in his study on the end times. He covered the tribulation, or he covered Christ's return, the rapture, tribulation, his second coming, the millennium, and eternity. And he kind of went into details on all those, and those will be a part of our study as well at the end, but he went into more detail on them. And all the things that I'm going to teach going through the Bible here on dispensations, and we'll get into what dispensations means and where it's found in Scripture. Does everybody got one? Anybody else need one? All right. And so we'll get into some of that here in just a moment if this is foreign to you. I know many folks in here, you have a basic understanding of what dispensations is, and probably some of you even the whole study, but we're going to go over it again and look at these different things. A couple things that I'd like to mention before we even get started is that you be in prayer about these things. Some of the views that I take on Scripture, not everybody shares. I know Brother Jim had mentioned some of that over again, but I'm teaching exactly what I believe, and everybody else has a right to be wrong. But don't get mad about it. And I've allowed folks to get up and teach all kind of things here. Nothing heretical or against some of the fundamentals of the faith. But I've allowed folks to get up and teach different views on different subjects of the Bible and things like that. But I'm going to go over what we believe is a dispensational view of the Bible. And we're going to look at a few verses here. And another thing I want to mention is this booklet I just handed out. I tried to put this together over the last couple weeks, and I am not infallible like the King James Bible is. So there probably will be spelling errors in there somewhere, grammatic errors. I do have a doctorate of divinity, but it's not in English. It's not in speaking and any of those things like that. So, let's see here. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, and then we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, just a verse. And these aren't in your book. I'm starting off with this, and then we'll pray again and get into the Bible study this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So the Bible tells us here that God wants us to study. It's a command from the Lord. It's a way that we can be approved unto God. And he tells us that it's going to take work, and that there is a lot of work that goes into studying. And it's we do it so that we don't need to be ashamed. And there's other passages that tells us that we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man. And we do that by studying the Bible and reading the Bible and staying in it. And then it tells us how to do it, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, go over with me there to verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Piece of candy or something. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. All right, well, let's go back to verse number 14. Right before that talks about the end times and verse 12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So scriptures were given to us to know that we're saved, know how to be saved, to know that we're saved. And I'm thankful that we can know that this morning. If there's somebody that doesn't understand that you can't lose your salvation, then that's just the milk of the word. That's just a starting place, is to know you're saved, know how you got saved, and know that you cannot lose your salvation. And scriptures were given for that. And then we find that it is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so the Bible is given to us and study so that we can understand doctrine. And we need to understand what is written and who it's written to and how it applies to us. And this study of dispensations begins to get into the different divisions in the Bible and understand how God operated. And we're going to get into quite a bit of that here this morning, or just begin to look at some introduction on that. All right? And forgive me if I'm having a hard time up here. I just recently changed up some medicine for my blood sugar, and I don't know what's going on right now. So, all right? And so the definition of dispensation, that's where we'll start this morning. The definition of dispensation. The definition of dispensation is the management of a household or household affairs. This is one of the definitions. I'm going to give you a few different ones. All right, this is like a Webster's 1828 definition. It's also a biblical outline definition. All right, so a management of a household or household affairs. And so the next one, specifically the management, oversight, administration of others' property. And we know that God, everything belongs to Him, right? When He created everything, and God's got a plan and He's got a way that He wants things done. Well, He dispensed two different men what He wanted, His plan. And in the big picture, we have the nation of Israel, we have God's chosen people, we have Gentiles, we have lost. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. We got the church. And the majority of your Bible is written to the Jews. Now, up until you get to Abraham, you just had Gentiles. There was nobody called out until Abraham. And then God called out Abraham to be the Jews. All right? And so these are the definitions of this word, dispensations. All right, the office of a manager and overseer are stewardship. Stewardship. And so that's what we're looking at here. All right? A stewardship is the word specifically that we're looking for, because God dispensed to different stewards His plan for each one of these dispensations. And we're going to go over those when we get into them. If I'm going too fast on some of these, let me know. We're going to look up these verses. So the word dispensation is found four times in Scripture. Four times in Scripture. We went over some of this before, but we're going to go over it again just for the sake of the study. So let's turn to these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 17. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 17. The Bible says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And so Paul, in this passage, is the steward of the gospel that was dispensed to him. And this is found in the time period of the church age, the dispensation of the grace of God. All right, is what he mentions here. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 25. "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Again, something that was given to Paul. Paul's the steward of the dispensation that was given to him for us. All right, so it's something that God gave him for him to be responsible for, the steward of, for us. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. And some of this stuff we're going to go over is very, very basic this week and probably next week, but just for the sake of the study, we're going to go over it. So if you know these things, I pray it doesn't bore you, but for the sake of going through this, I want to start like this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times," Brother Jim mentioned that, "he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So this is another time period where God is dispensing something, and it is called the fullness of times. Another time period. So this time period that he mentions here, Paul mentions, was not taking place right then. The other two that I mentioned, Paul was saying was given to him to give to us right now. It was the time in which he lived right there, and it was given to the church age. This is a future time that's to come. But again, I hope you can see that this definition of a stewardship and an overseer and something that's given to somebody, you can see that in these verses. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 2. All right, chapter 3, verse 2. "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." And I'm going to stop reading right there. There's a lot that could be said about these, each one of these. But here's another example. Paul said something was given to me to give to you. And he's talking to the church here. And it was dispensed to him. And actually, we get the name of the dispensation that we're in right now. You'll see it when we go over them, is the dispensation of the grace of God. Or it's also called the church age, but here's a biblical name for the one that we're in now, the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, this is something that was given to Paul to give to us that wasn't given to anybody else up to this point. And these different times that Paul's mentioned, this dispensation that was given to him was not given to anybody before Paul. So the time period that those other people lived in, there was something different. There was something different that God was doing, a different program that God had. And we find out as we study through here that it's with the nation of Israel. If you take a big step back and look at the Bible, And try to back up, and we're going to do that here in a little while when we go through here. But you've got two main groups. You've got the nation of Israel and the church. The church is a mystery time period that is stuck in God's program with Israel. He put Israel on hold, the church, and then he's going to pick right back up with the nation of Israel going through the tribulation. And that's a real backed up view. But within God's program for Israel, he's given them different opportunities. And that's why we have these different time periods or dispensations. All right? That there are head stewards that God puts over each dispensation. And as we go through, we're going to look at who some of those individuals are. In some of them, there's a group of men. In some, there's just one man. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's the apostle to the church. In the Christ's earthly ministry, Jesus was here. The disciples were here. In the garden, it was just Adam. Adam was there, Adam and Eve. And so they're head stewards, or head steward, for each dispensation that God puts over them. All right? And then the end will be everybody under Christ. We read that in the fullness of times. Everybody will be in Him and under Him. All right? There are nine covenants that God made with His people. And if you want to go back, I think some of these are recorded where I went into more details on some of these things, and we actually looked up some verses on them, but I'm just hitting this as an introduction, getting back into it. There are nine covenants that God made with His people that cover six of the dispensations. A covenant is a mutual agreement between two parties. And God has always had a covenant with the nation of Israel. And so we're going to look at some of those things. And as I go through here, I'll probably mention multiple times that the church does not replace Israel. God has a plan for Israel, and the church is not going to take their place. We have not taken their place. And when we look at these covenants, we can see some of those things. I don't know how you can read your Bible every day and believe that God's not that God is through dealing with the nation of Israel. It's all through Scripture. It don't matter what book you read in. God is not through with the nation of Israel. And so we'll look at those things, all right? If I'm moving too fast, let me know. Is everybody good on this page? All right. Some of the covenants are unconditional. Some of the covenants are unconditional regardless of what man does, and some are conditional based on the obedience of man. And the reason I'm covering this right now is because when we start going through each dispensation, and what I'm going to do is go through every one of them, and I'm going to give an overview of every dispensation. But when I do, I'm going to tell you when it started, when it ended, what the covenants are that are associated with that dispensation, who the main characters were, the stewards. I'm going to tell you how it started. I'm going to tell you how it ends. And just kind of give an overview of each one of them when we go through here. But I wanted to cover some of these definitions before we got there. All right? And so some of the covenants are unconditional. It doesn't matter what the man did. It doesn't matter what Israel did. God was going to do something because He promised them He would do it. He made a covenant, a contract, an agreement. And then there's some that are conditional because God said, if you do this, then I'll do this. And I can show you, and I will, Lord willing, when we go through there, that when God did that with Israel, they responded, we will do it. They had a handshake. They agreed to do what God asked them to do. And what we find out is they didn't end up doing it. All right? And so, everybody good on that one? All right? Every dispensation ends with man's disobedience and judgment. I'll put a little asterisk in there that's not there, except for the last one. All right, except for the last one. But every other dispensation ends with man's disobedience and judgment. Every one of them. Every dispensation starts with God's grace. You find God's grace and His mercy all through the Bible. All through the Bible. All right, everybody good on that one? All right, the plan of salvation. This is where we get into the area that some folks don't agree with. But the plan of salvation is different for each dispensation. God has a covenant with the nation of Israel. He's got a covenant with these people. He's asked them to do things. And you might say, which we'll get into a little bit of this later. But there's verses that say, well, this guy had righteousness and this guy had this, and we'll get into some of that. If you've been reading in the book of Psalms, when David sinned, he begged God not to take the Holy Spirit from him. Things were different. And you say, well, how do you know if those folks made it? And there's a lot of verses to back this up. They better be right with God when they died. And guess what? In the tribulation, you better be right with God when you die. Right? That's the program that God had with them. God wanted them to choose Him over everything. And He wanted them to stay that way. And when they go into the millennium, God will be their God. When they go off into eternity, God will be their God and He will be their people. He's going to write the law in their hearts. He's going to do these things, and it'll be just like God always wanted it to be, which is that the children of Israel would choose Him and not serve any other gods. We are in a mystery time period where all we have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried and rose again, and we're saved. You could do that and get up tomorrow and live however you want to. Most people do it anyway. And you're still going to heaven when you die. Right? And God tells us that the reason He did this and that there is a church age and there is this body of Christ that is the church is to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. They never had it that way. They always had to do something. They always had to show God that they're following Him. And if they died backslidden, they died lost. And there's verse, when you're reading through Psalms, read David. Every time he's praying to God after a sin, he's saying, Lord, please, please help. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He talks about my righteousness over and over and over and over again. You know whose righteousness I have? Christ. David prayed, Lord, please, please, would you help my righteousness? He kept saying over and over again. And David knew how to get right with God. Absolutely knew how to get. And so I believe he died right with God. I know he did. He shows up in the end. I mean, his throne will be established forever, all these things. But the man stayed right with God. There's some that started off right, and they ended up not right. King Saul did not end right with God. The Lord took his spirit from him. All right? And so the plan of salvation is different for every dispensation. And we're gonna look at the plan of salvation for every one of them. All right? Why different dispensations? Man is without excuse. Mankind as a whole, and then specifically the nation of Israel, without excuse. God has given them every opportunity. We're going to look at each one of these, but the very first one, all they had to do was do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. I mean, you would think that the one we're in now is the easiest one of all of them, but people have a hard time with it. But the very first one was do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree is yours. And they couldn't do it. So then God gave them a conscience. And we'll go through some of these again. God gave them a conscience. They had the example of the garden. God gave them a conscience. The sacrifices were there now. God killed the lamb. And now they had a God-given conscience to say, that is wrong. And God said, just follow that. And they couldn't do it. They did everything evil that they could think of. And so that didn't work. And then he said, all right, well, I'm going to give you human government. Govern one another. They couldn't do that either. Then God said, well, I'm going to write it out for you. I'm going to spell it out for you. Here's the law. And they couldn't do that either. He sent his son Jesus Christ to fulfill the law and did all those things. And he did all that for the nation of Israel. There's verses in Luke and Mark that talks about Christ dying for many. It doesn't say he died for everybody. Why? Because the Jews, he came to redeem his people. Now we know, because we have the full scripture, that what Christ did on Calvary paid for our sins too. Amen. And we got in on it. And Romans teaches us all those things. So now man's got all these different opportunities. They had the prophets. They got all these people that God sent them to help them. And then we get to the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith. And what do people want to do today? They want to work their way to heaven. They want to do good works. Right? And then we're going to go into the tribulation, and they're going to go right back to do not. There's going to be another do not, just like it started off. Do not take the mark of the beast. You're going to have to help other Jews. There's a list of things that they're going to have to do to make it through the tribulation to be right with God. And so man is without excuse. In the end of this thing, man is going to be without excuse. And we also have to consider that this is just the way that God wanted it with his people. We don't have to try to make excuses for God. I'm not going to make excuses for him on why he did something. The Bible talks about Jacob as he loved and Esau as he hated. And I've heard so many preachers try to make excuses for God. The Bible just said he hated Esau. Okay, he hated him. He probably hates some of us at times too, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. But I'm not going to make excuses for God. This is the way he did it. And I don't have to twist it around and try to explain it away to make it fit the way that we're saved today or try to teach a certain doctrine. You just don't have to do that. Just take it for face value and say, well, that's what God said. Right? There's no reason to explain it away. All right, there are three transitional books in the Bible. Okay? And two of these are dealing with the nation of Israel, and one of them is transitioning from God dealing with the nation of Israel to the church. So Matthew is a transitional book. It goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. All right, and it's not just Matthew 1:1. We find out that Christ dies in Matthew chapter 27. I think it's verse 51 is when he dies. And so up until that point, those people are still in the Old Testament. Because it's not till the death of a testator. So Matthew's a transitional book. Jesus comes on the scene. He's preaching about the kingdom. He's doing miracles. But he's doing that to give them a taste of what's to come in the millennial kingdom. When he's ruling and reigning on this earth. He's doing all these things to show them, I am the Messiah. Because the Jews require a sign. So he's doing all these things. The prophets are preaching. John's baptism is in play. All these things are taking place. And then Jesus Christ dies on the cross and he fulfills the law. It's a transition. All right, the book of Acts is a transition. The book of Acts is a history book. And it transitions from God dealing with the nation of Israel. He saves Paul. He dispenses to Paul the time period that we're in now. He gives him how we are to be saved. And then throughout the book of Acts, you see things taking place. There's a lot going on in the book of Acts. It's a transition book. And by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, we're in the church age. All right? And then the book of Hebrews is also a book that's transitional. It's right after the rapture of the church, going back into God dealing with the nation of Israel, the tribulation. And it also tells us a lot about the Old Testament going into the New Testament. All right? So there's things going on in those books. And the Bible is laid out in this time period, dispensationally. Now, I know there's some arguments about Job being the oldest written book in the Bible, but most people believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It doesn't mean that the events happened before what happened in Genesis. It was just one of the first ones that was actually written. All right? Job was a part of the Exodus coming out of Egypt. You can read about that. Him and his family were a part of that. So he was a lot later on, after even the Exodus of going out of Egypt. But that book is said to be one of the first ones written. And there's different arguments for some of the like 2 Timothy being maybe one of the last books that were written, or Revelation. Different dates. But irregardless of all that, the Bible's laid out from Genesis to Revelation. It's laid out dispensationally. It's laid out in a perfect time period. And that's the way that God laid it out. So whenever you're reading, starting at Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation, you're reading a timeline of human history. And so that's exactly how God laid it out. Now, all the different authors, all the different prophecies. There's no way all that could line up if God wasn't involved. There's different Bibles that they make that the books are in the order of when they were actually written or what they believe when they were written. And that's neat, but it doesn't line up with the way God has all, like, timeline. In the beginning, God. I mean, that's where you start, right? And then in the end, amen, at the very end of the book. All right? And so there are different views on how many dispensations or time periods there are found in the Bible. Some teach 5, some teach 7, others 10. I'm going to be looking at 10 different time periods, okay? And you get labeled a hyper-dispensationalist for believing this, but I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. A hyper-dispensation, and I'm getting into stuff some people don't know anything about, and that's fine. But they believe in only the prison epistles of Paul belong to the church. And there's a lot of false teaching that they teach. They don't believe in baptism, the Lord's Supper, all those things. So I'm going to be looking at 10 different time periods, and some of them are, for example, the law. The law goes all the way up until the death of Christ, right? And so some people, like Clarence Larkin's one that has a chart, and he teaches that whole time period is under the law. But I believe the Scripture shows us that something changes. And so instead of just the law, I've got the law and Christ's earthly ministry. Because there's a verse that I'll show you when we get to that point where John says, up until now, it's been the law and the prophets. But now Christ is here, and he's preaching something different, and the disciples, the apostles are preaching something different, and so something changes. So I've got one of those broke out that really you could just say that's the law time period if you want to look at a broad picture. But so there's examples like that. The end times, tribulation, millennium. Some people push all that together. But there's different things that take place. The plan of salvation is different. There's different aspects to it. And so I have it broke out into 10 different time periods that we'll look at, okay? But I don't understand the 5 dispensations, and I think they're wrong, but the people that believe in 7, it's pretty much the same thing I'm teaching. I'm just breaking out a few aspects of a couple of them. All right. Does anybody have any questions on that right there? I'm gonna stop there. Now, I'm going to take my time going through here. And so, well, here, actually, I think we can cover a few more things here. Does anybody have any questions up to this point? Feel free to ask them. All right. Now, this next part I'm going to go over is what they learned in Miss Sarah's class, in the toddler class. But for the sake of this study, we're gonna just briefly go over it. All right. So this gets real simple. The Bible, 66 books. All right, from Genesis to Revelation. All right. Start with the broad view, and we'll just narrow it down all the way till we get to where we're teaching. All right. So the Bible, 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. All right, the Old Testament is 39 books, Genesis to Malachi. For somebody that has a problem with dispensations and dividing the Bible, you might want to get off at 66 books because we're dividing already. At least Old Testament, New Testament. All right. New Testament is 27 books, Matthew through Revelation. Technically, it begins Matthew 27. We want to get real technical. All right. I don't want to go too fast. This is real simple stuff. All right. The books of the Bible are broke out in some more divisions here. You have what's called the law books. It's Genesis to Deuteronomy. All All right, got the history books, Joshua through Esther. This covers the history of the nation of Israel. If you need to get some of these when I'm finished too, you can go back and get them. The wisdom or poetry books is Job through Song of Solomon. Major prophet books are Isaiah through Daniel. The minor prophet books, Hosea through Malachi. And just because they're minor prophets doesn't mean they're any less value or content than the major. They're just shorter. That's the only reason they're called minor prophets. There's some very deep things that go on in these books that are not minor. Right? The gospel books, Matthew through John. There's a whole lot of little studies that can be done throughout this big study of things we mentioned, like the gospels, for instance. Gospel, the grace of God, is what we're under today. That's the believing in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. But the Bible talks about an everlasting gospel. There's other things it mentions. All right, church history book, Acts. The church letter books are epistles. Romans through Philemon. These are the books that are written to the church today, the time period that we live in. All right, and we'll mention some of that again as we go through here. All right, the Jewish letter books are the Jewish epistles, Hebrews through Jude. These will fall under the book of Hebrews. Is explaining the cross of Calvary to the Jews, what it means to the Jew. The book of Romans explains what the cross means to us. Right? Then you have the prophecy book, the Revelation. Okay? And I believe that's a good place to stop. And then next week, we'll continue as a way of introduction to look into different divisions until we narrow it all the way down to where we'll start looking at the 10 dispensational view that we're going to teach. All right, if anybody wants to come up and get any of these answers, they can do that. I'll leave it up here for a second. The chart that was on the very first page is in the back of your book. It's in the back page. I know it's small, but you can take a picture of it with your phone and zoom in on it, or I have a big one that I can hang up, or I can even leave it back up here in the front. All right, so let's pray. Does anybody have any questions before we go? All right. These things are typically only ever taught like in a Bible Institute, but all of God's children should know these things. You shouldn't have to read in the book of James or read and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to come across the verse and then worry that you're not doing those things and wonder if you're saved or not. You shouldn't have to do that. You should have assurance in the fact that we know what time we belong in God's timetable and what the plan of salvation is for us today, and know that we're saved. And God tells us these things, that we can know these things. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank